Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. This is the Rehovah Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check out all of our podcasts, local folks doing local podcasts. Today's guest, I'm going to do this in the WWE voice. No, I'm not. Roger Doc Hunt, but you like to go by Doc.
That's just what everybody calls me because I'm an athletic trainer. So when you get injured, where's Doc at?
Doc!
That's right.
Oh, makes sense.
So if you get hurt, you call me. Hey, Doc, guess who it is?
Well, good morning, Doc. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Exciting.
The people, the hustlers, the people out on the streets, they sent me messages and said that I should have you on the podcast, that you are multifaceted, I would say. But on the first thing that was brought up is that you're very good at being a trainer. Is an athletic trainer a fixing?
We call ourselves athletic trainers because there's personal trainers, and so when people think that you call a person a trainer, they think, oh, he's a personal trainer. He's not an athletic trainer. He's a personal trainer.
Right.
We find now that when I started back in 1972, high schools were trying to get athletic trainers, and I was the first one downstate. There's only two in the state of Delaware, but athletic trainers are now everywhere. They're in the theater, they're in Hollywood, they're in all the bases of military bases throughout the world. They're in shows, you know, doing actors, actresses, dancers. Sure.
So there's like trainer, and then so training you to prevent injury, and then there's training you to get out of injury, so to speak. And I kind of pictured you as more of a trainer to get you out of injury.
I do both.
Okay.
I'm a licensed athlete trainer. I'm also a strength and conditioning specialist.
Okay.
So I have two different certifications, but I'm only licensed as an athlete trainer. So when people get injured, they'll call me or they'll stop in and say, hey, listen, do you have time to see me? I injured my elbow. I need to know, gotta go see a doctor? Do I have to go to urgent care? Do I have to get an x-ray? Or do you think it's something minor and I'd rather come to you because you've been doing this since 1972, so you've got to know something about what's going on with injuries. Plus, if somebody comes in and says, hey, I want to get in shape. Can you help me? I don't want to go to a gym. I want somebody that can take care of me based on my limitations that I have, high blood pressure, maybe high cholesterol. I'm a diabetic I've got Parkinson's. We had somebody with Parkinson's disease, and I could not believe what happened to him. Right. We do a program called Total Motion Release. If you're out of balance, you restrict your motion. Mm. If you restrict your motion, you will have pain. So we know that with Total Motion Release, we get 100% success rate. No medical facility can get 100% success rate. We get 100%. So far, we've got 100% success rate.
Well, I'm 52.
No way.
I'm not an athlete, but I run. I ran this morning. I did 4 miles. And I'm learning just through time and pain, right? Because I just, I always say nothing changes a life like shame and guilt. And it's usually some sort of shame and guilt that I've done to myself that makes me address it. And the problem I was having is I had some pain. And I started having some problem in my knee. And I ran on a Monday. I don't have bad knees. I don't believe that if you run, it makes your knees bad. Maybe it does. I don't believe that. But what I learned on Monday, and I've never been a big stretcher, right? I've never been I do the standard, grab my foot, pull it up, put my calf out, whatever that's, those standard little stretches that we do. But what I learned on Monday is that I have pain in my knee. And I run Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And Tuesday, I was like, what's going on with my knee? At 52, when pain shows up, you're really wondering what sort of that's going to play a role in the rest of my life, right? So I'm like, am I going to have a knee issue? But what I learned is, over time, I think my body wants to turn into a ball. It feels like everything is just tightening up. And what I had to do was, I think you would call it like a butterfly stretch, where you sit down, bottoms of your feet together, kind of let your knees drop out. And I couldn't, my knees were like 45 degree angles. I could not come down. And I worked on it and worked on it. Finally got stretched out. Finally, you know, that release, you know, they talk like Tiger Woods. If I could just get it to release, I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? Well, I get it. My legs finally, I guess it would be my groin. I don't know what this is, but there's something in there that's connected to my knee. When unaddressed, too tight, it pulls on that hinge and creates pain. I didn't realize this. I thought it was just the only injury that you get is just from pounding, right? But it's really, you know, if you have something that bends a certain way and then you pull on one side of it for long enough, it starts to wear out. And I think that's what was kind of happening in this run. So I've been really addressing stretching and a lot in my inner thighs, you know, all the stuff, my lower back. And I ran that following Wednesday and had zero pain.
One of the things I would recommend, I had a pastor's wife come to see me. She said, I heard you can take care of anything. I said, well, I can treat you. I can't heal you. God can. I can treat you. She had problems with her hip. Nothing when she ran. It's when she got done, she'd have a tremendous amount of pain. Mm. And I said, did you take medication for it? Yes, I did, to calm it down. I said, well, listen, we can get rid of it. She came in with an attitude of, yeah, right, I've been to a doctor, and okay, I've been to PT, okay, let's see what you do. In 30 minutes, we had her completely pain-free. She couldn't believe that. What we did was total motion release. We have 6 tests we do with the person to find out if they're out of balance. Because if you're out of balance, remember, if you're out of balance, you restrict your motion. And if you restrict your motion, you're going to have pain.
Right.
So what we did was we just worked on the various body parts. We have a upper power zone, middle power zone, lower power zone. So we can get those balanced. Usually what happens is the pain either goes away or drops dramatically.
Do you want to describe the zones real quick that we have an idea of what that upper, middle, and lower?
Correct. The upper power zone is from the waist up.
All right. So belly button up, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from
more
the chest.
Core.
Yeah. Okay. The core is the second power zone. The third power zone is from the hips down.
Okay.
And so we test each one of those. And certainly, you know, maybe when we're done with the podcast here, I can show you these tests that we do. And we're very successful with this. We've helped people with arthritis. That blew me away. I helped a person with Parkinson's, and I couldn't believe he was doing it 5 times a day after I taught him this.
That's pretty heavy, right? Parkinson's.
I couldn't get over that. I was shocked when I saw what happened, because he couldn't walk on the treadmill without holding on. Within 2 weeks, he was running on the treadmill. He wanted to get back to playing softball again. He said, if you can do that for me, I'm fine. And that's what we did. We got him back to softball. He's voted the player of the year for the softball program, and they won the championship. So his wife said, you gave him hope again, because he had no hope of going back and playing softball because of the fact the doctor said, look, you can't play anymore. You got Parkinson's. We were able to get rid of that Parkinson's problem that he had. He now walks with no shaking, doesn't stand there with his arms shaking. And I'm thinking, why don't other people do what I'm doing?
Right.
It's nothing special.
Well, I think you mentioned it, hope. I mean, hope's a big thing. I mean, when you lose hope, you lose a lot. It takes sometimes. There's a special person out there that can reignite hope.
You're probably right. I had a guy come into me when I was...
Well, it sounds like you might be the guy. hope igniter.
The fire hope starter. Igniter. I like that. The hope igniter.
You can have that. I'll let you have that one.
Okay.
Someone right now is like, www.hopeigniter.com. Boom. Sold. It's gone.
Hey, you know, I had a young man come in. He was 25 years old. He was autistic. And when this rehab counselor brought him into me at DeMarv Christian High School, and I had the hours afterward, there was no athletes there, I thought, what am I going to do with this guy? So I put him through the total motion release. It's not going well. He's not doing the exercises the way it should be. But the second week, he was seeing some improvement. At the end of the 4 weeks, we only saw him twice a week. The rehab counselor came in and said, I just want you to know, he doesn't bump into the wall anymore. He doesn't have to hold on anymore. And the state has given us another 4 weeks with you because they can't get over how much he's improved. And I said, you're kidding me, aren't you? Because I said, how does that help with autism? And to this day, he, no problem at all. Just walks and, you know, he still has some mental issues, but his balance, his coordination is the same, is neutral.
Well, we live in a world now, it's like it's all social media, right? I mean, you know, I finished my run, I posted my run on my Instagram, put my pictures out there, you know. it's a humble act, but still a little ego shows up. And not too much, you know, you don't want to still be like under the humble radar, but I threw them out there. But some people, you know, if you want to start, you know, if you need to make a change, and I remember, you know, and we've talked about sobriety, and, you know, there was a time mm-hmm. when I decided that I had better expectations of myself and was really just bouncing along the bottom and not doing anything. But you look around and you're like, how can I start, right? It's like I'm so darn far down, you know. Mm-hmm. They say you can hit bottom. Well, then there's those that get off the elevator and start digging, right? Mm-hmm. We can go a little farther. So yep. you can come out of this space sometimes and just feel so discouraged and with no hope. And then you look at, and, you know, when I was a teenager, I didn't have to, wasn't so many people, so many examples of awesome people to make me feel as bad. But today, everybody's awesome, right? You just, it's just all out there. And so you can get discouraged. So I think you know, starting off with maybe small goals, when mm-hmm. I started, because all I wanted to do was be a runner. For some reason, I just felt like that was just going to make me awesome, right? And so, but, you know, regardless of my motivation, I had to start with little goals. And it was like, just see if you can run to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a smoker. I quit smoking in 99. That was really the transition. I remember running and smoking, running and then having mm-hmm. a cigarette afterwards. You know, and I'm like, I'm never going to be a runner. I'm smoking, you know. this is terrible. But you just keep at it. Eventually, you fall in love with something. You know, I always say, you have to fall in love with sobriety more than be afraid of drinking. You mm-hmm. have to fall in love with running more than you do smoking. And mm-hmm. it will transition if you let it. And but it's those goals, you know, and you look, and so many people are doing so many great things that it's easy to get discouraged. So do you think that's probably a good starting point, is just super reasonable goals?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there that call themselves health coaches. They may be personal trainers, and they do a good job out there. We tell people that we're a facility that wants to give you hope and get you healthy. Once you get healthy, you decide you want to stay with us, fine. If you don't, and you want to go out on your own mm-hmm. and do your own thing, then fine. You can do your own thing. You may want to go to a gym. That's fine. We want to let people know that we want to work with your limitations, number one. Number two, we don't want to cause pain. Now, there's a difference between pain and I'm feeling burning sensation in my muscles because the lactic acid is building up quicker than I can get rid of it. Mm. I tell them that's okay. It's when you start to say, you know, this is really bothering my knee or bothering my elbow or my shoulder, my ankle. Then we say, okay, what we need to do is modify the program for you right now. Maybe later on you won't need the modification. You can go ahead and get back into it. We had a woman that got hurt. She tried to do more than what she should have at her age. And I tried to tell her, you're going too hard. Hey, I know what I'm doing. I said, fine. So she was out all last week. She came back today, said, I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. I said, great, that's good. She said, my back was so bad. She said, I was in bed for 2 days. And I said, well, did you get up? Well, yeah. Did you do any of the TMR? Well, once I got up and was able to get around, I did my TMR. But I thought, I'm going to give it rest till I see you again, which was today. We saw her today, her and her husband today. He came in, but she didn't. And I said, what you do is you push yourself because you have an A type of personality. I'm going to do this because I see the other ones in here and I can do better than them. And therefore, what you're doing is you're causing yourself to go beyond your capability or maybe your limitations. So we tell people, hey, work within your limitations. When they become less, you can do more.
Well, you know, it's a lot of work just to be normal, right? I mean, it's a lot of freaking work just to be normal. So a lot of us, and it's no, you know, it's not bad-mouthing anybody, but a lot of us are below normal when it comes to certain activities mm-hmm. like exercise and fitness. And, you know, just because, you know, we come up with this great idea that we're going to make this big life change and we're going, you know, full bore, that doesn't mean we're going to go full bore. And, you know, I think we've all learned. I know I've learned. You know, I was watching, you know, somebody was posting, a friend of mine posted a picture of her doing a deadlift. And I'm like, you know, and I don't comment. I don't usually care. Go for it, you know. But I said, why? Why the deadlift? You know, it's great, but when the deadlift goes bad, the deadlift goes bad. And that's what happened to me. And she's like, I'm sorry that you were hurt. And I go, yeah, I get you. But I can tell you there's not like, you don't, it's not like you run 20 years and then go, wow, my knee's starting to feel bad. The deadlift wrecks you. I mean, there's no recovery from the deadlift injury.
It's a back injury.
It's a back injury, mm-hmm. and I did it. And I was good, In fact, that was amazing. If I wasn't so amazing at it, I wouldn't continue to do it. But that one time, it just, for some reason, it popped. And, you know, my kids say, Daddy, do you have any regrets? I go, yeah, deadlifting. So I said to her, why deadlift? And she, you know, she kind of let me have it a little bit. I should have minded my own business. But I'm like, I almost want to be an advocate for no deadlifting because the injury is so bad.
It happens in deadlift and also happens in squats.
Squats too.
Yeah. And I tell people, you're better off doing unless you're going to compete.
Thank you, Doc.
You're better off doing one-legged squats with dumbbells. Now what happens is not only are you working the ankle, stabilizing when you're standing on that one leg, you're also getting your knee getting flexion extension and your hip flexion extension. But here's the thing. If I got weights in my hand, I'm working my core strength because I have to balance myself.
Yeah.
When I'm doing both legs and I'm putting that bar on the back of my neck, on my shoulders there, what happens is it's compressing the vertebrae. So if it's compressing the vertebrae, what do you think's going? What's happening to the disc? So I tell people, unless you're going to go ahead and compete, you're better off doing one-legged squats. That's what we do in our facility. We do one-legged squats.
Or lower weight and more reps.
Yep.
Because it just is a bad one. And listen, you when it's their journey, you know, you can't mm-hmm. tell them anything. And mm-hmm. I, you know, like I said, no problem. Mm-hmm. Have a great time. Good luck.
Yep.
You know, love what you're doing. But like I said, when it goes bad, there's plenty of other exercises to achieve the same things that you can get through deadlifting. I'm going to say this. I'm not even sure like college football trains deadlifting anymore.
They do deadlift. They do bench deadlifting. They do power cleans. The bigger they are, the more they can compete against others athletes that are that size, or you are the number one size going against your opponents. I think sports are great. There's a lot of good things you can learn from them. I don't watch pro sports. And the reason why I don't watch the Super Bowl, don't watch any of the pro sports, because it's not a sport. It's a business. That's all it is a business.
Yeah.
They make money. Whatever they do, that's up to them. But it's about making money. And so you're going to go ahead and play. You're going to get yourself the best possible condition you want. So I tell people, you can watch pro sports. That's fine. The problem is, it's a business. Watch the kids that are playing tournaments, like your children at their age, if they're playing any sports, you know, soccer, or maybe they're playing lacrosse, or maybe they're playing softball
nope.
or baseball.
No.
Well, what happens is I do a lot of those tournaments. So I like working with them because they don't get paid for doing it, and the coaches don't get paid. They're doing it because they love what they're doing. And so I've been doing this since 72, and I do a lot of the tournaments in Sussex County, Maryland Eastern Shore. I enjoy doing that because you're working with those people there that want to get back out there and play. And sometimes you have parents that want them to play, even though the kid may not want to play because he's hurt. And you get coaches like that. And I've got to step in sometime and say, listen, I don't think they should play. You can't stop me. And I said, no, I can't. I can go to the tournament director and say, hey, this person can't play. He's got a serious injury.
Yeah.
Or especially if it's a head injury.
Sure.
We have people that like to override me. And I tell them, is it really that important for your son or daughter to play when they may have a serious head injury? But it's only the third one. That's more than they should have.
Well, that's a whole nother podcast, right? Yeah. Vicariously living through our kids. I mean, that's that's a mess.
And they coach the way the pros do. What they see on TV, that's how they're going to coach.
I remember my youngest or my oldest, David, had it might have been Sam. I don't remember, but they wanted to play soccer, and we showed up on the day, and there was no coach, and I was like, well, I guess I'll volunteer and help. I mean, there's no coach, right? I'll help. I'll do what I can. And I got this lady. This lady and her son attacked me verbally because I answered a phone call on a Saturday. I was trying to do something. We were building something, and I had to take a phone call. And they're like, if you don't want to be the coach, you should be off the field. And I'm like, I'm volunteering. There was no coach, you know? What the – I'm like – I'll never do this again. And we've never played soccer again. It was really not a great experience. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate. Parents can get a little too excited, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that the cool, unique thing about your business is it's a faith-based business, right?
That's correct.
You're into mind, body, and soul.
What we tell people is this, that we don't push Christianity on anybody. When they come in, we do a devotion. When I was at DeMar Christian High School, I had more non-Christians come in to the exercise program than I had Christians in there. And I said, we're going to do devotion. I said, okay, fine. I said, I'm going to pray. Yeah, that's fine. We're going to play Christian music. That's fine. As long as it's uplifting, Doc, that's fine. We just tell people that we are a faith-based facility where we want people to feel spiritually. We want to be able to let you know about Jesus. What you do with that is up to you. We want to help you emotionally. Maybe you're down and out about certain things because you can't run anymore and you're very upset or you've gained weight. Mm. Maybe you're on medication. You don't want to come on anymore. The doctor told you you're going to be on that for the rest of your life. We want to help them mentally to be prepared to do the things they want to do, and then physically. And then the other one is socially. We want people to be able to interact with each other and know that they can have a good time in here and not feel threatened at all. We're not here to develop athletes. We're not here to develop the bodybuilders. We're here to help people get healthy so they can go ahead. Because most people just want to get out and be healthy and stay healthy, eating the right foods. We tell them that the best diet that's out there is the Mediterranean diet that's out there. And it's simple. You don't need any special products. Right. So we tell them to do that, get plenty of sleep, control your stress, and you're going to have a great, healthy lifestyle.
Well, it's funny because you're taking, you know, working out, sports, right, which is pretty ego-based.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's really, you know, when I work out, you know, it's about me. It's about me being on display in a better way. It's mm-hmm. like people looking at me. Appreciating me finally, right, for the person that I can be mm-hmm. or that I wish I was, you know, and I work out and I'm like, look at me. So it's got an interesting foundation for the whole thing. But then trying to be, it's tough. You know, we talked about this on the phone about that, you know, that, and you didn't watch the commercial, but there was a Super Bowl commercial with Bruce Springsteen, and you know, the pitch was basically, you know, we need to get back to the center. We need to find freedom. This right that we've been given is our freedom. And, you know, he's right. You know, I drove here this morning. I had no issues. But, you know, I don't know if that is freedom. Because, you know, you can work out. You can work on yourself. Doing it rightly can be the challenge, because if you're doing it to promote self, then you're not free, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a prisoner. I mean, mm-hmm. especially now, it's even worse by, you know, these people that are posting their things on Instagram and people are liking them, and now they've got to keep doing it and being better. And, you know, I watch people in the deadlift, you know, they'll start deadlifting and posting it on Instagram, and next thing you know, they're adding 2.5s, you know, they're adding a 5, and it's going up mm-hmm. and up and up, and then it's not about the strength, it's about the look, right? Mm-hmm. And it can be just as sick. You can be a soul sick doing something that's supposed to be so good for you.
Mm-hmm. Because we all want to be told that, hey, great job. You did really good, really good, really good. Hey, how'd you do this? How'd you do this? How'd this? So what happens is I watch somebody, that's what I want to be, is just like them. And I see on Instagram and Facebook, I see a number of women that I've known, right. And I see them all there, and all you see is this, they're posing, and I'm going, And I talked to my wife about it. I said, what do you think? She said, if you looked like those guys, I'd have a very tough time staying with you, because I don't want that. I like you the way you are. You're healthy. You're not sick. You're 71, and you get out, and you do things. We do a lot of stuff, fun activities. You may not run a lot, but you work out, so you keep yourself toned. But I don't want somebody like that. Would you want me to look like some of those women that you see on Instagram and Facebook? I said, no, I don't. Yeah. I said, you're 67, and you're very attractive, and you're very healthy for a 67-year-old woman. In fact, people, when we go out together, want to know if I'm your father. I said, that, and that really upsets me. I told my wife I was going to get gray hair, and then she points out, the Bible says gray hair is a sign of wisdom. I said, yeah, I keep you bringing that back to me, huh? So she looks very, very healthy, and she is healthy. And so what we want to do in our facility is get people to feel healthy so they can go and do things that they want to do with their family. Because one of the things I think really bothers me is when I see fathers or mothers sitting on the sideline and kids saying, come on, we're going to be playing some softball. Everybody, families are getting together. They go, oh, no, I can't. And the kids go, oh, okay, yeah, I understand. So kids want their they want their moms and dads really healthy, not athletes, but healthy to be able to do the activities with them.
Well, and there's also the inside, right? You know, I was talking the other day about how, you know, if I go to the grocery store, you know, I only look for the best, right? I'm digging through the grapes. I want the best grapes. I want the best broccoli. I want the best beans. I'm looking through, you know, I want everything. You know, I don't buy the front. I get the one behind. You know, I'm a best. But when it comes to, like, picking how I feel about myself, mm-hmm. I don't go look for the best feelings, right? I tend to find some of the more dysfunctional feelings, like I'm not good enough, I don't look good enough. It's like constantly trying to improve myself through whether it's working out or running or Instagram or whatever it is, always trying to make the best, but not picking. Like I don't go and say, listen, I'm fine the way I'm at, where I'm at. I mean, I'm somewhat active. I don't need to be phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. I can find a nice place in the middle yep. and find some peace with that. You know, we tend to find like the crummy parts of ourselves and then kind of live in those. And then we feel like we're not that good. Mm-hmm. And it's not a freedom.
The people, it's interesting. You mentioned that, Tom, what happens is, it starts out when they're children, then when they're mm-hmm. teens,
right.
And people make fun of them. I can remember when I was in gym class, when you're in elementary school and all the good kids got picked first, and then the ones who weren't too good, coordinated, they got picked last.
Right.
When I became a physical education teacher, I promised I would never, ever, ever embarrass any kid by saying, oh, Tom, you and Darlene there, you're the last ones. And you go, oh, golly, Dale, we get picked before Darlene. Oh, my goodness. And I thought, how embarrassing that is for both of those kids, that the kids are going to make fun of them because, oh, you got to have him and you got to have her. I made sure that I picked all the teams ahead of time. And I said, if you complain out loud or I hear you talking about them, you're sitting out. You don't get to do the activity. Well, after a while, they don't want to sit.
Right.
They're going to keep their mouth shut and say, hey, Tom, good job, good job. Hey, it's okay. Hey, we all make mistakes. Let's get out there and keep having fun. Let's have fun. And that's what I think we miss. We miss the fact that we want people to tell us how good we are. And that by doing that, we're like gone from here to here. Now we're here and everybody idolizes us, including ourselves.
I've been watching, my wife and I have been watching MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay. And, you know, just something to watch. But at some point, they have these challenges. And, you know, it's called a pressure challenge. And they have to, you know, whatever it is, make some weird stuff. And then the winners, the two best plates, they become the captains. And then they become captains for the next challenge. So at some point, they've got to pick people. And it's that same thing. At some mm-hmm. point, there's the last person, and they're an adult, and I'm like sitting on the couch going, "Oh my God, I feel terrible for that person to be the last." And I don't know why I'm the last person, but they just don't realize how awesome I am. You know, they work through it. You know, they don't just go into that dark spot. But mm-hmm. it's still, you know, even as an adult, is weird to not be picked. it's funny, but you know. If you can be that voice, if you can be, you know, sometimes you can almost get to a point, and then if there's a person maybe like yourself, Doc, who's like, I'm here, let's go to the next level. You know, let me just get you through this tough part. You know, it's nice when, you know, I've had friends when I was starting my running and, you know, running to the corner and making smaller goals, and then a buddy of mine, James, came into my life, and he's like, I'll run with you, and we'll just do it. And so that's what I needed to get to the next point where I could actually consider, you know, run a few miles, 4 or 5 miles. Mm-hmm. And now I try to run with people and be that guy that takes you to through that tough spot, you know, the part where it's easy to quit. And it's nice. And it sounds like you're that guy for a lot of people when it comes to working through that, just that part where, you know, there used to be a part of the ocean where you didn't go, right? Because mm-hmm. The planes could only go so far. Tom Hanks did a great, is it Grey Wolf? I think it's on Apple TV, but it's a movie about a sub guy. No, it was a shipping guy, and he's got to cross the Pacific. No, I guess the Atlantic. But there's this space in the middle that's very dangerous because there's no support. You know, the planes couldn't fly back then. This is in the early 40s. So, but you're that guy. You get him across.
Well, hopefully, you know, what we want to do is we just want people to come in and say, listen, I just want you to know I now can do a regular push-up, not a girl's push-up. We don't call them girls. We call them modified, because I say, I do modified push-ups when my arms are hurting.
Right.
I get down on my knees and do it. We want people to say, listen, why are you doing this? If you're doing this because you want to look good in a bikini or a bathing suit, you don't need me then. You want to go to the gym.
Right.
If what you want to do is, I want to get healthy so that my kids will start working out and doing things because they're on the computer all the time. They're not doing anything at all. I take them out. I say, let's go for a walk. Let's go outside and play. I said, if that's what you're trying to do, then I can help you. I want you to become healthy. You want to become healthy. So therefore, we certainly can see that you're going to reach your goals. If it's about being an athlete, I do train athletes. If they want to come in, I said, sure. But I said, we don't have the equipment that they have the gyms. We use a total gym. We believe in the total gym because you're using your body weight. And when you get up that high number 21 or 22, which is the last ones, it is very difficult. I know, because I'm there at 21. I can't get to 22 yet. It's just too much for me right now. I don't even know if I'll ever get there, but it's okay if I don't get up that high. Right. I want to get healthy. I don't want to be so sore the next day I can't do anything.
Right. No, that makes sense. How do you implement the faith-based, you know, the Christian stuff? I mean, I'm a spiritual guy. I believe, you know, as a spiritual awakening, a higher power. I haven't quite committed as far as to, like, the church thing. It's just not what I do. But that doesn't mean that that I shouldn't. But, you know, how do you – because you have to be careful, right? Because you can – you say the wrong thing to somebody too early, and they could be like, ooh, you know. Because,
holy roller.
Yeah, well, you know, and, you know, I always say that the biggest issue is that, you know, if we don't do the things right, we're supposed to go to hell.
But that's not true.
Well, that's what people think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did, too. Before I became a Christian, I thought, hey, I'm going to hell because I did this stuff here. I'm partying. I'm drinking all the time. Adulterous affairs, I'm going to hell.
Right.
Because that's what I read. We tell people, listen, the Bible tells us that God loves us. Right. He gave his only begotten son that we might have an opportunity to accept him so that we can spend eternity in heaven. But while we're here, it's to share the love of Jesus with people. It's not cramming it down their throats. When people come in and I do the devotion, I say, oh, do you see what we're talking about today? We're talking about purity. Now, let's look and see what this says, what the Bible says about purity. Oh, okay. Wow. Let's see. Here's the scripture. And then here's some commentary about that. Any questions on that? So, Tom, what's your about? Gosh, you know, I never knew about that. I didn't understand that at all. I said, yeah, I was that way too. So we want people to know that we're here to give information. We tell them that we're here not to jam Christianity down their throats. A lot of people leave the church. In fact, some of the people I've worked with left the church where I was at. And I really looked up to these people, but they either got hurt by the church or they didn't like the pastor that was there. It was just not friendly to people. So they left the church. So when they come into me, they say, this is my church. So you don't have to go to a church. You can be at some place with some other believers and say, listen, let's get into the word and talk about it and see what this word means. If we need to bring in some commentaries, we can, or if we want to bring somebody in that really knows the Bible well, let's have them come in and just talk to us. So it's not about you have to go to a church. We are the church. The Bible says we are the church. But when we come together, we're a body of believers, so therefore we have a corporate church coming together. Do you know where the biggest churches are in the world?
Dallas.
Nope.
Texas.
No, it's actually China.
Oh, okay.
China has more Christians than any other country in the world. Even though they're being persecuted, they're being tortured, they're being put in prison, they do home churches. Anywhere from 10 to 50 people in there.
Wow.
And so that's where they have their church. They have their church there with people. And sometimes it's only 3 or 4 people because so many people have been arrested. But they said, something must be wrong here. If they're afraid of Christianity when all it is about love, it's just about the love that God gives to us, the word to give to others. So I'm thinking to myself, look at these small churches here, these home churches that are just there to see what they can do to learn more about Jesus, learn more about God, learn more about heaven and hell. I think those things there are really good. So I have people say, this is my church here with you, Doc. You give us a word. You pray for us. We go ahead and work out. You give us a health tip based on the word of God. You pray, and then we're out the door. No church does that.
How do you, I mean, I come from I believe something different. And it's, I mean, nothing like I have, I just feel like these things like church meetings, you know, things like, they should be an inconvenience. Church to me should be an inconvenience. I think we'd rather do something else. Church should be that time where you show up, you dress up, you pray, you do the time, you know, for the Lord, mm-hmm. and then you leave. I always say if going to church or going to a meeting is better than what you were doing, you just went to a social event.
I never thought of it that way. Yeah, it is, because you're gonna be around other people.
Right. I mean, it's you're given the idea, you're believing in it, and you're showing up to show that that's why you're here. You have faith in this belief. You know, the kneelers. You know, the kneelers never used to have a padding on them. It used to be wood. You got on your knees. It sucks. You get down. You say your prayers. You show the Lord, you know, whatever it is, that you're willing to sit on your knees and feel the pain and pray. But then a cushion shows up. You know, it keeps getting a little bit easier. And mm-hmm.
The chairs are cushioned.
The chairs are cushioned, yeah. Which is fine. Listen, yeah. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel like, for me, church spirituality is a reminder that I love me. I just love me being happy, and I have to remind myself that that is not is it's not what's most important.
No. If you're going to be happy, here's the thing: you're happy because of the fact that you know that Jesus died for me. And when I hear that there, and I heard a pastor say he reached down and he took me off of the road of destruction and took me from the pit of hell, I can't thank God enough that I gave my life to Christ, because now I've got to be a godly father, husband, and a man in such a way that my wife looks at me and sees that, hey, he's really made a change in his life. My kids will look at me and say, you've made a change in life. I'm so glad that you have joy now, Dad. You didn't have that before. Mm-hmm. Oh, you were happy when you had good feelings, but joy is when you know that you're doing something for the Lord. Whether it is helping somebody out, you just, hey, I can take it shopping. I can buy groceries for you.
But don't you believe those are the acts that bring down that wall of self?
Absolutely.
Helping others, being available, being inconvenienced. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned it to you, I've said it before, you know, doing things rightly. You know, there is a thing about that. I've talked in another podcast, the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, where, you know, when I first got sober, it was very important that I was going to be a better guy. And mm-hmm. the grocery store parking lot was a great example of where this was going to take place. I was going to now be the guy that takes the cart all the way back up to the store. I would take the cart to my car, unload it, and then I'm a new, better person, sober, you know, updated. And now I'm going to take this cart all the way back up to the front, because this is what special people like me do. But at the same time, looking if anybody's noticing.
That's right.
And so you're under the impression you're doing the right thing, but inside you're really still feeding self.
That's right.
And yeah. It's dangerous.
Absolutely.
So to do, that's why I say, listen, if you, you know, and I've been going to meetings, you know, I'm sober. I've just celebrated 12 years. I go to meetings a lot. I've been going to them for a long time. That is one of the bad things about this pandemic for me, is that we don't have any right now. You can do some Zoom, but meetings should suck. You know, I should be at home enjoying the fact that I'm living a sober life and all the wonderful things that come from it, which is basically just normal, right? And pulling myself away from that because I need to be at a meeting, not only for myself. In fact, at this point, it isn't really about me. At this mm-hmm. point, it's about for the newcomer.
Let them see what you went through.
Right.
You don't know what I'm going through. How do you know what I'm feeling?
Right.
Let me tell you what I went through.
Yeah, but just showing up. I remember one of the first things as a just freshly sober alcoholic, thinking I had nothing to offer. I've got nothing here. I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to offer. And a guy says, listen, if you're the only one that shows up and a newcomer shows up and he's able to go to a meeting because of you, you helped.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I can help, I guess. So... Mm-hmm. I can't help in the most amazing spotlight way, but if it's just showing up, if it's just saying good morning, if it's just shaking mm-hmm. somebody's hand, but at this, it should still be an inconvenience. This shouldn't be, oh, I can't wait to get to my meeting. It's just going to be so awesome. It should be like, damn it, I got to go to a meeting. You know, it's an inconvenience. And once it's over, you feel better.
I don't know. I've never had that feeling like that. I want to make sure that if I'm
you
going,
love it.
I love what I'm doing. It makes
you happy.
Well, I'm honoring God. That's the thing that it says, is that am I honoring myself or am I honoring God? How am I honoring God? God, I want to do everything I can with the gifts and talents you've given me, as he's given each of us an opportunity to share them with other people. And they go, why do you have this joy? Tom, why do you have this peace? You're going through hard times. Why do you have this peace? You won't understand. It's Jesus. No matter what happens to me here on earth, when I die, my body stays here, but my mind and my spirit go to heaven. I have a brand new body. But while I'm here, I want to make sure I share everything I can with people, the love that I have, that God has given me. Because I don't know about Cody, but you and I, we're older. So when somebody said, hey, do you know what love is? Yeah, sex. To me, that was what love was. Do you want to make love to me? Do you want to make love to me? Do you want to make love to me? That was what I found love was. When I got to church, I gave my life to Christ, to a missionary that we support in the Philippines. He said, you have no idea what love is. I said, I have no idea. He said, when you love God the way he loves you, you can share that love with other people because you're not going to act the same way you used to be. Like, okay. So what's joy? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It'll get you through all those hard times that you're going through, whether it's financial, maybe it's a relationship, whatever it may be. What's peace? I have no idea what you're talking about peace. The Bible says you're going to have the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, that when you're going through tough times, don't be anxious, but just know that the Lord's going to be there with you. You say, I can't see him helping me through this situation. For instance, us with our business. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? There's very few people coming in, but the bills are coming in. What's going on? And a good friend of mine says, he's not going to let you here because he knows this is what you need to be doing right now because people are coming to you. They've come from Milford. They've come from Milton. They come from Rehoboth, and they're coming from Georgetown. They're coming from Millsboro. So people must want you and your services. So that's why God wants you to stay open. You're going to financially break through. There's going to be a breakthrough. You just got to be patient. I say, yeah, that's one thing I'm not. I'm not sure about you, but I am not patient.
No, I mean, listen, I want what I want when I want it. I'm just like a human. Just like a human. But you brought up a great point because I've always felt like, you know, you're like, okay, well, if the Lord was helping me and life was good, we'd be doing fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe not the case. Maybe the struggle is mm-hmm. where the growth takes place. You not getting what you want is
absolutely.
Where the growth takes place. This is where character is built.
Absolutely.
If you everything goes your way, you're building characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good, Tom. Really good.
Well, people have to. It goes back to this freedom. You know, everything's going my way. I'm free. No, you're living in a prison of basically, you know, can you imagine having an Instagram where a million people follow you and you got to keep getting bigger and stronger and you're tormented by this pressure? You know, this is all I've got. Mm-hmm. My whole world is just this Instagram and yeah. I've got to keep adding weight. And it's like, I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
I am not free. And
it's going to affect you socially and emotionally.
Right. I always tell my kids, are you happy? Yes. I go, well, I must be a bad parent. Well, because my parents dedicated their lives to making me happy. Thank you. But they also made my life very challenging. And it wasn't because it was on purpose. They just thought that was the right thing to do. And what it ended up is not allowing me to handle my business. Mm-hmm. And so when I became a young adult, I really struggled. And I had to grow up. And so, you know, sometimes the less happy you are, the better, the more growth there is. And I'm not saying I don't want people to be happy. It's just a metaphor, so to speak. But it's like, if everything's supposed to be, I'm happy, I'm getting everything I want. You know, I've always have a hang up, you know, the footsteps where it says, you know, when there was one set, that's when Jesus was carrying me. How come Jesus isn't like, do it yourself, bro. I mean, let's get to, you know, pull your pants up and let's get serious. You know, why do I have to carry you?
Well, you know, Tom, you hit a good point here. And the point is this, that happiness is an emotion. So somebody gives me a check, says, hey, here's $5,000. Wow, I'm going to be happy about that. But I know that there's something here that this person is doing. He wants to see what he can do to help me because he heard that I had a situation financially with the business. I'm not going to be happy about that, but I'm going to be joyful that God, thank you for using Tom to help me out with this situation here, Lord. I hope I can help other people out as I get better and better and better. So I think we tend to do is this, that we help people out. We say, God, look what I've done. Mm. Look what I've done. And God's going, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for your sacrifice. I'm looking for your obedience. When you're obedient to me and you do what I ask you to do, when you call on me first, I'm going to let you know what you should be doing and what you should stay away from and what you should be going to, because God knows everything. He knows everything that's going on. He's in control. He knows all things within. Why does God let things happen? He lets man make choices, and unfortunately, the choice that man brings are based on his pride, his lust of the eyes, and his lust of the flesh. How do we know that? Look at Hitler. Look at the Civil War. Look at the American Indians and how, or the Native Americans, how they were butchered, beaten. Look at the African-American, how whoever's in power makes the rules, and whoever makes the rules has the right to do whatever they want, unfortunately. And so when Jesus came here, when he became a human being here, and he was fully human and fully man, he said, I'm here to do what my Father's called me to do, and that is to experience what you go through, number one, and number two, I'm going to be a humble person that when people beat me, mock me, scorn me, I'm not going to retaliate. He never had a sinful thought, never said anything sinful. And so what happened was he died a criminal's death, even though he was never, ever sinned. He never committed any wrongs. But he had to do that because his Father said, if you don't do this, man can't come to heaven. I cannot have a relationship with them because man is very sinful. He had to flood the earth to get rid of all the sin. Then all of a sudden, boom, we got hit again. Mm. We got hit again with that. So he wanted to make sure that this is going to be taken care of. And it's interesting, when Jesus was on the cross, it's the only time in the Bible that he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He always called him my Father. But when that happened, God could not look at him because he took all the sins of the world on him, past, present, and future, on the cross there. So God could not look at his son because he had all sin, and he cannot have sin in his presence until he died. Once he died, he rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God. So when you look at that, people go, well, how do I get to heaven? It seems very shallow that you can only get one way there. Well, look what Jesus did. He went there so that we wouldn't have to go there. He gave us an opportunity. Just all we got to do is, he said, there's only one way to my Father. It's through me. Once you've accepted me as your Savior and made me your Lord, I'm going to help you here. And I know that when I've read about the missionaries that are being slaughtered, executed, because they will not stop proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Muslims, the Hindus, those people that do not want Christianity in their countries, whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Asia, whether it's Africa, even in Colombia. Colombia is one of the hottest places that if you're a Christian, you could be killed. And Cuba, they put you in prison there. And Cuba. So when we see that there, we're looking, we don't have anything like that here yet. Nothing like that there. I can still talk to people. If they go, I don't want to hear that. Okay, no problem. They're not going to beat me up. They're not going to torture me. The government's not going to torture me. So we live in a very, very sheltered place here compared to the people that are in those third world countries.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, and I always like to think, what if God showed up one day and said, hey, Doc, by the way, you're an angel now. You're in heaven.
That'd be good. I mean, if I heard that.
Would you change your ways? Would you become more angel-like?
No, because in the Bible it says the angels are lower than man.
Oh.
They're lower than man, so I don't want to be lower than that.
Well, you know, it's like, the point of it is like we always want more. We always want better. Like, oh, after this we go to heaven, this better place. It's like, what happens if you're in heaven right now? Maybe you're an angel right now. Maybe this is your opportunity to live angel-like. Maybe it's about helping people. You know, we get so much. We're just constantly disappointed, right? This pandemic, you know, I've called this the disease of the gluttonous. You know, if it's if you live gluttonously, you've probably suffered. If your business is gluttonous, you've probably suffered. If you manage your life in a gluttonous way, you're probably suffering. But, you know, you take all that away, and what do we still have? You know, we're still here. We can cook. We can go to the grocery store. So it's just all the things that it seems like we just want things to be better. Like, yeah, better, 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 more, more, more.
And we want to do the same thing for our children. Now, realizing that, you know, you better not beat that child, because if you do, you're going to be, the social service is going to come. I can't remember how many times my dad took me out back.
He beat you?
Whoop me. Whoop me. But he didn't beat me. He just whooped me and said, hey.
I don't think beating's required. I established a relationship, one spanking for both my boys. And once we established that that was out there and it was an option, we've never had to visit it again. And it was not a, it wasn't a beating. It was like, nope. I remember my son's like, I know, no dinner, no TV. I go, no. Tonight's different. We're going to spank. He's like, what's that? And I go, oh. And I spanked him. Pop, pop, pop. And we've never had a problem since. And it happened with my other son, Sam. You know, I don't think we have to beat each other. No. I just think that, you know, we established it.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is a... I try to actually, I don't try to give my kids a lot of help as far as school. I say I'd rather you were a C average kid and can ask the teacher a question or admit that you didn't pay attention than coming home and the team, me and my kids, all to get together to get that homework done to establish that my son does the work of a person that just should get A's. And so I don't help him, and he gets A's anyway. The less I help seems the better they do.
I, with the new stuff that's out there,
it's tough.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing this. I don't know how they're doing this new stuff here when you do the old way, and I still come up with the right answers, and I do it quicker than what you're doing.
I think they're trying to remove the parents from helping. I'm just guessing that that's why, because there's no, it doesn't make any sense. You mean like common math or the long, whatever it's called now, the new math or whatever.
It's called the new math, yeah.
Let's talk. We got a little time. Let's talk about your business. So where are you? Where are you located? What's it called? What do you do? What are we gonna? let's get a little shine a little light on this, because you've mentioned a couple of times you're having a little trouble, right?
Yeah,
pandemic's been rough on you.
Yeah, it's been really really tough with the pandemic.
And Doc, sent me your name, and is it Doc or Rob?
Rob.
Rob sent me your name. I have another friend, Doc. So,
really?
So yeah, I do. Absolutely. Doc has been on this podcast. And they both send me people. They're like, oh, my God, you got to talk to so-and-so. You got to talk to so-and-so. But Rob said that you are fantastic at helping people rehab, get through injuries, back injuries. He said somebody broke their leg in half or something, and you help them get back up and moving. So you're besides the spiritual part, because I think that that's just – I think it's like – spirituality, physical,
emotional, mental.
It's all of those. Mm-hmm. And you're covering some of the harder parts to cover. Anybody can do a push-up, but can you talk about spirituality and be a great example? And it sounds like you're doing that. So let's get people to come check you out.
Well, the thing we tell people is that we've got a couple of programs here. One is we have an exercise program where you can come in.
What's it called? Let Cody bring it up.
Okay.
What's the name of it?
The name of it is Hunt for Health.
Hunt for Health. Hunt for Health, Cody.
And it's a Christian Healthy Lifestyle Center.
I like that.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is right there.
Got a great website.
Actually, it's huntforhealth.org. That's another one there, too.
Is that yours?
Yeah, that's mine, too.
Oh, I can't.
That's what's set up by Goober Tech. Is that Tech Goobers or something like that?
Techno-Goober.
Yeah, Techno-Goober. They set it up this way because they said, Doc, you're the only facility in Delaware that has a faith-based gym class. You're going to be a gym teacher.
Do you have Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, too, and I'm on, there's a picture of me there.
I see you. Are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram, too.
Are you posting? Are you putting it out there?
Yeah, I'm not that good with that stuff there. I got a company down in Florida that's doing all that for me.
Okay.
Advertising, Hunt for Health. They hit doctors and chiropractors. Hey, listen, if you got patients that could benefit, this guy here's... For those patients that you have no hope for, or they have no hope, they're hopeless.
Here you go. Is your Facebook page?
Yeah. I should take Cody with me and say that he can take care of.
He can't. He's not available. He's mine.
You don't share. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't. Not my, intern. No, he's good. We're protecting him. We're not letting him out. I don't want him falling or getting hurt. I don't want to get him brainwashed. Where are you going, Cody? I'm not coming back. No. Because you know what? Cody, very blessed to have Cody.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's great.
What we do is, so people come in, and what's happening now is, since we don't have a lot of people in classes, they go, hey, I want to come in at 11 o'clock. Well, I don't have a class at 11 o'clock. So therefore, whatever you're paying for the class, mm-hmm. you're actually getting me personally as a personal trainer
okay.
for $5 as a personal trainer, because you want to come in at that time. So we go, okay, fine, you can come in at that time there, and I'll take care of you. So I have a Down syndrome kid coming in tomorrow. I've been working with him.
Where are you located? Let's establish. Let me just get an idea so I know where you're at.
I'm on 270 West State Street, which is west of or north of Millsboro.
North of Millsboro. So
there's
between
Moorfield. There's ball fields there. I'm sorry. Am I putting you to sleep?
No. I ran this morning, Doc. I was up at 5:30, bro. Come on. I'm doing the best I can here, pal. It's a long day. I think I'm coming down off the coffee. So
it's right if it's 270 West State Street. So he should be West State Street. See West State Street there? Right before you get to the pond, before you get that curve, there's the ball field. We're right to the north of that. You'll see there's A.E. Moore, there's Down to Earth, there's Hose Pros.
Where's 24? I can't get an idea of where 24 is. Oh, okay. Oh, so so the Wawa's right there on the corner. Mm-hmm. So you head towards Georgetown. So you're between Millsboro and Georgetown.
Yep.
Okay. But not far out of
Millsboro.
No,
we're a mile, maybe a half mile outside the Millsboro.
So if you're heading from our area and you're heading, so you would make a right on 113 and then a mile down.
You go all, well, from here, you go out, you hit 24 and stay right on 24 until you get to Millsboro, then you take a right.
Yeah, that's what I said. 113.
24.
Right. Well, what's, aren't you on 113?
No, I'm on 24. I'm off at 24.
Okay. What's that road right there?
That's State Street.
Oh, you're taking the back way. But you could come down to where...
You can come from Georgetown down 113 and then go in that way there. But most people come down and hit 20 and then go the back way in.
Okay.
That back way.
So it is off of 113, though.
Yep. It's right off of 113.
That's what I said, Doc. Oh, Jesus.
No, I'm not. I appreciate that, but I'm not Jesus.
Well, listen, I appreciate you. I'll have you back.
Well, hey, I'd love to come back, especially since Cody's here.
Yeah, Cody's great and keeps everything organized. Before we go, if you were going to suggest one thing for a 52-year-old guy, what would it be? How I eat, stretching. I'm feeling like stretching is very important right now at my point in my life. Would you agree, or is there something I'm missing?
I would do TMR with you.
Okay.
I do that before I work out. When I go back to the facility, I'll work out.
What's that stand for?
Total motion release.
Okay.
Total. When you look that up, you go total motion release videos. The guy that designed this, Thomas DeLonzo Baker, now teaches all over the country. And what he does is a 1 or 2 minute video. So watch this guy here. Look how unbalanced he is. He can't lift his arm up.
Share some of these videos to our Robo Social Facebook page.
Yeah.
If you want to see some of these total release videos, they'll be on our Facebook page.
You'll see it's got to be total motion release. He's done things with babies. Mm. And I was like, what?
What is TMR?
Total motion release.
Total motion release techniques. Takes a non-traditional but effective approach to physical therapy. It allows the body to naturally realign and heal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it is interesting. At my age, my body gets a little bit out of alignment, especially my toughest challenge is from sleeping to getting up,
mm-hmm.
you know, because everything is kind of all out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes me a couple minutes to get kind of stacked up correctly. And it's important. The stretching... Stretching has become this new thing for me all of a sudden, and it's not the traditional stretching. It's like inside of my legs, inside of the mm-hmm. outside, these weird things that like pull on my joints.
The total motion release will help that. You'll eventually go, what we do, people come in, they go, okay, what do we do first? Dynamic stretching takes maybe 5 minutes. Then we do TMR. That takes 5 to 10 minutes. Then we go ahead and do our basic core exercises that we got from a chiropractor, Dr. Hanen. And then what we do is we do our balance exercises to balance the body. You balance the brain to balance the body.
And all the weights are done with the total gym?
No, we don't even use the total gym yet. This is a half hour before we even go to the total gym.
Okay.
So before we even do that, we do that. Then we do the basic workout, which takes everything about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on agile the person is. Are they really got some medical issues that I got to work with them a little bit longer? Or, hey, we can get them going. I could probably get you up and going within a week or two that you know this stuff here and you'll be able to do it on your own. Go, hey, I'm going to do this every day. Boom, I feel good now, and I can go ahead and work out because I'm balanced now and I feel more flexible. And now I'm ready to do my strengthening exercises or my cardiorespiratory exercises.
I love that, that you want to get somebody in, educate them, and then send them on their way. Mm-hmm. And then if they have to come back every once in a while and mm-hmm. just kind of get a refresher, then...
That's right.
Yeah, that's important because people can get stuck in this training stuff for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and you know, we just want people to be healthy. And, right. and we have people that say, look, when I'm not in with you, I'm walking. I said, great. Yep, I'm walking about 1 to 2 miles a day. At night with my husband. I said, that's great. You're getting social, emotional, mental, and you're getting the physical part.
And the spiritual.
And the spiritual part. Yes, both of them are Christians, so they, yeah.
It is interesting, the spiritual part. We're a little different, but I'm all about surrender. I feel like if you're going to fight everything you do down this path and point out and make it a battle, forget about it. If you can surrender and just enjoy the freaking mm-hmm. journey, it is so much better. And when that happens, I bet when you see that happen, people, when you see that spark kind of, mm-hmm. I bet you that's pretty awesome.
I had a woman come into me, had all kind of medical issues. She's married to a guy, 95. She's 75. They've been married for 30 years, 35 years. And she said, I'm a Catholic, but I don't practice as a Catholic. She said, this is my church. You give me everything that the church would do, and even more because we work out. And then if I can't do certain things, you show me how to modify that so that it will not hurt me or cause any more. We tell people we don't want to cause pain or increase your pain if you have an injury or you have something that causes that. So that really struck me when she said that. And that was back in September. And she's now not coming in at all. She's there with her husband because he wants her there more. She notices that he's declining.
We're at 95.
At 95, yeah.
Hey, I think you may be getting a bit old, buddy. Listen, Doc, maybe I'd love to have you back and just, I'd love to just talk stretching. You know, maybe mm-hmm. we can talk about, some ideas for, guys and gals that are getting up into the 50s that are starting to turn into a ball.
You won't. When you start doing the TMR, you'll find out that, look at those 6 tests there and you say, I can do that. I'm going to find out which arm's the better one. Then I work that side that's good. You never work the side that's bad. You work the side that's good that doesn't cause pain.
Right.
And then next thing you know is, hey, that does feel better.
Well, and there's a lot of interesting, I just lost my mom. She passed in October. Oh. And one of the challenges that she was going through was these weird, like, lift up, lifting her knee up. Mm-hmm. That was a tough exercise. You mm-hmm. don't expect that is going to be an issue. But apparently when you drive... And you want to go from the gas to the brake, you need to be able to lift that foot up mm-hmm. and get over. And she couldn't do it. So she lost the ability to drive. So there's like weird little things that start showing themselves that you don't realize. And I tried to get her to pedal a bike, I bought her a little stationary bike to, mm-hmm. she just was like, eh.
That's what happens. Usually the older people don't want to do that. And you say, hey, listen, if you do this, you're going to see, you're going to have success. I have a woman that has a tremendous amount of medical issues. I just started texting her. I text 34 people about, just a scripture, just a little scripture. And I tell people, hey, if you want me to, give me your email, give me your phone number. I'll text it. I've got a man that's in Afghanistan. He's a general.
Wow.
He contacted me. I said, why contact me? I don't even know. He goes, I just want to know if you'd be my friend. I said, sure. He said, I have a son that's in the UK. He's in boarding school. My wife and my 2 daughters died 4 years ago in a car accident. Mm. So I'm over here in Afghanistan. My son's there. We're constantly corresponding all the time. So I send him a text every day along with the other ones there. And he goes, this helps me get through the day.
Nice.
I thought, okay. So this woman said, I'm up now. I want you to know I never got up before 8 o'clock in the morning. You send it out at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm up by 4:30 ready to start the day. Thank you. And I'm going, really, just that one little thing there influenced this woman here to get up early. And she says, I can get through my medical issues. I thought, okay. I started with 2, and then all of a sudden I build up. I send people to in Virginia, New York, Las Vegas, California. I say, hey, I got a text, a scripture to you if you'd like to have it. Yeah, send it to me. Okay, fine. So
That's awesome.
It is. It's good.
Well, Doc, listen, I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you so much, Tom.
I'll have you back. I'd love to, we got a lot of the important stuff out of the way. I'd like to get to talking about some real stuff that I could use in my life to, not extend the life, but just extend the quality of it.
Well, good.
Through stretching and all that other stuff.
Well, I got something for you.
Oh.
And for Cody.
Oh.
It's a gift.
I'm eggs over easy with corned beef hash? No. I'm so hungry. Oh, books.
Okay.
I teach out of these books in all my facility. I got that book 12 years ago from my church. I said, what are you handing out to all these people who are getting saved? I thought, oh, my gosh, there's such good information here. You know, who's God? Who's Jesus? Who's Satan? Who's the demons? Who are angels? What do you mean by purity? What do you mean about love? What do you talk about peace, joy? What do you talk about how to raise kids? What are you talking about how to be a good child for your parents? I mean, there are so many good things. It's all New Testament. There's no Old Testament in there. But I thought, this is so good, so I hand them out. Here's the thing.
Looks great.
I've handed out these Bibles, and our church was giving it to us. And then I said, since we became a business, we'd go have our own. Do you know where I've handed out the most of these?
Where?
At Sussex Central High School.
Okay.
I handed out 86 Bibles there in 1 year. Just so that you know, only 16 went to students. The rest of them went to coaches, teachers, administrators, staff, the nurses, the wellness center, coaches that came in from other schools, referees that came in. And I said, hey, I'd like to give you this. I only had one person tell me he didn't want it. It was an administrator. He said, nah, I don't believe in that stuff. I said, okay, fine. Just take my ankle. I said, okay, no problem at all. So you got to figure out of 87 people, 86 people have the Bible. Mm. And only 16 to students at a public school.
Well, it's got a new look to it. It does. I mean, it's an updated look.
Yeah, it's a believer. It's a new believer's Bible.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch. We'll have you back.
I appreciate that so much. You and Cody here.
We'll start a. We'll get a routine down. We'll start talking about things and see if we can start helping some people. Get them to come check you out.
Hey, if they come, great. If they don't come, and I just can be here with you guys, hey, I'll be happy.
All right, I love it. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, bye now.
Bye. Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours.